2 minutes.
Okay. Michael was next, and then Carol.
In Total Proposal 1 and Total Proposal 2, the two columns in orange, you're basing both of them on using business reply envelopes.
That's correct.
And you think that's advisable as opposed to just using an envelope with no postage?
That's correct, because a business, I think it would just further depress people responding.
Okay.
Okay, Serene, and then Carolyn, and then we're at time. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I actually have a motion I'd like to bring.
Why don't you hold that, because the next part of the agenda is motions. So just we're
oh, I'm sorry,
minutes.
I'm not looking at the agenda. Okay.
In 2 minutes,
no problem.
We'll get
no
there.
Problem.
Carolyn?
No problem.
Yes, thank you. I'm concerned that the statistics on mailing don't include a comparison with e-balloting. And I don't know if the statistics have been developed independently or in conjunction with a company's estimates or several companies' estimates, but I think that this committee should really consider looking carefully at a comparison of how much e-balloting would cost as compared to all the sticker balloting. I'm very disturbed about the fact that we haven't complied with the PNB's directive, which is specifically to investigate e-balloting and the cost and compare them carefully. So I would like to ask if the supervisor doesn't think it's in her purview, then maybe this committee should direct the ED or whoever to have from each station the status of their e-lists and then submit that to an independent company and ask them how much it would cost to do e-balloting given the condition of the lists in each station. But I think this committee really has responsibility to address that issue of lowering costs. And I think that the lowering the costs of e-balloting depends on, obviously, the condition of the list and how much the stations have complied with the directives to collect those current and keep them updated lists. So I'd like to see a comparison side by side, down the line of how much it would cost to do this and that. My paper and my e-balloting.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Sure. Go ahead, Joy. I was going to insert some factual things about the history.
During the first call that in the proposed ballot, a proposed budget that I submitted, there was a information about an online vendor. And I just want to give you an example. I agree with you, and I believe sort of doing this process online would significantly reduce the Pacifica's cost to actually produce the election process. But what's missing is sort of, as you mentioned, the wholesale adoption of each station actually having email addresses or doing a huge voter information time period to actually have voters go on and register and submit their email to commit to voting. I don't get the sense that or at least from what I've seen thus far, that we have emails from members, and then that also goes to the population of members that Pacifica has, sort of being able to compare that. But I would say that, in the next 5 years, in terms of when, 4 to 5 years of when the election period happens, I would sincerely recommend that Pacifica consider doing it completely online and have people opt out who do want just paper and have them opt out of the process earlier, because it would significantly save money in the process.
Okay, may I respond to that for a second, Bob?
Very briefly.
Thank you. The question, as you indicate, is compliance by the stations. We have a new ED, and I would strongly urge you to appeal to him to pressure the general managers who report to him directly to do this, to create the kind of e-list that would make your life a lot easier and cost Pacifica an awful lot less. I think this is a good time to look at that and ask the ED to jump in and exert his authority and demand that the GMs just collect those ED addresses, update them as they're supposed to every year at least, and give them to you so you can work with them and work up comparable data and not just wait for 5 or 10 years hence, which is too late. We won't be around by then.
All right. So let
Janet
me just
say.
Hold on, Janet. Let me just put in a factual point here that I think there's a conflation going on of email notification of elections and email voting. I don't think anyone that any of us have spoken to or Joy has spoken to would advocate an email ballot. That's highly insecure. The question is about notifying people by email that you can vote and here's where to go and details. That's a very good thing. And, of course, you know, as the board has voted in the past to encourage the ED to get as many email addresses as possible. But that's a separate issue from doing the e-balloting via email. So I just want to make sure those...
Bob, I have to object. E-balloting can be
very secure. We're not having a debate right now, and we're out of time.
Well,
so I'm going to Janet Kay, and then we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Janet.
Right. I agree. I don't think e-balloting should be used. And I recommend everybody on this committee read a book by Dr. Jonathan Simon, who has done tons of research on this issue. And the book is entitled Voting Machines, Computerized Election Theft. And even though it's voting machines, there's other kinds of computerized voting that is addressed. And there's all kinds of ways to hack in and all that, and it's not getting any better. I'm done.
Okay. All right. So we're out of time, so now
this
we move on
Kim.
To the next item. Hold on. We're out of time, so the next item is motions about what Joy just presented. So in other words, these are two options. Do we want to adopt one of them? Do we want a third option? How do we want to proceed? So that's where we're at. And, Michael, remind me how many minutes are allocated. Well, actually, it's moot because it's 10:15, and we have 15 minutes before the meeting ends. Plus, we have to get back to choosing our next meeting date, which may take us at least 5 minutes. So why don't we go for 15 minutes on this and then see where we're at 10:30. Okay? So, all right. So the floor is open on motions, and I heard earlier Serene said she has a motion. So I call on Serene.
Okay, thanks. So looking at the difference, the postcard option is interesting, but I'm at this point looking at the traditional way that we've sent them out, sent out voter information. And so I'd like to make a motion with regard to the cost of first-class mail versus the bulk mail. And my motion is, and I'll send it to you all in a second. Whereas Pacifica continues to be in severe financial crisis, and whereas the National Election Supervisor has recommended that the election materials for the upcoming election be sent to voters via bulk rate mail, which he estimates would save approximately $17,000, along with a business reply envelope to make it easier for voters to return their ballot and their contribution to offset costs. And whereas the National Election Supervisor has issued an election timeline that includes the option of a 10-day extension of the period for ballot mailing and return, there's a range there of 45 to 55 days if bulk mailing is decided to ensure that all voters have adequate time to receive and return their ballots. Resolved that the Elections Committee recommends that the Pacifica National Board approve bulk rate mailing of initial election materials to voters. And I'm sending it now.
Janet Kay, point of information.
Go ahead.
So the NES recommendation was for the postcards, from what I can tell. And so is your proposal, I'm addressing this to you, Serene, or your motion about the voter mail budget number one, the total proposal number two, bulk mail. Is that what you're proposing?
Yes, those are the two figures that I compared when I said so, it was different.
So it's the $51,582 total. That's the one? Is that what you're saying?
The difference between Proposal 1 and Proposal 2 is roughly $17,000, $68,504 in the first case and $51,582 in the second case.
Well, right. Just to clarify, I think the language may have been confusing. It's not Joy's Proposal 1 and Proposal 2. It's the within Proposal 1, there are two sub-options.
Right.
That's what Doreen's comparing.
Right, and so it's the second sub-option, total proposal number two, the second orange column, that's what color comes out here, with a total of $51,582. That's what I understand.
What I just said.
Okay, so further discussion about Serene's motion.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Okay, is there any committee member who wants to speak first? Okay, go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, I would suggest we wait for this motion and table it until we get further data on proposals from specific companies who are capable of estimating the email balloting and email mailing costs very specifically that we're considering. In other words, we haven't really hired a company yet, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so maybe we should postpone this until we have some firm data to compare it to, rather than committing ourselves to a dollar figure. So I would propose tabling this until we get better data.
Let me repeat, perhaps you weren't on the call when I said this earlier, so let me say it very clearly.
Jose Luis Fuentes, point of information.
Yeah, hold on, let me finish. The bylaws are extremely clear. No matter whether we do e-voting or not, we must also do paper balloting, okay? So, as I said, Joy has researched and will be ready to recommend a specific contractor at the next meeting to do the full e-balloting option, but it must be accompanied by a paper option. So what tonight we're discussing is which form of paper balloting do we recommend that Pacifica do? So we don't have to wait to compare anything because we're not comparing them. We're doing both. Go ahead, Jose.
Janet K. to the stack also, thanks.
Okay.
And Carolyn, in response, thank you.
Jose Luis.
Can you get John into the queue?
Sure. Jose Luis first.
I would like to know what other companies are out there that the previous speaker thinks have a bid for doing what she wants. I haven't heard other companies mentioned.
Okay, well, let me explain. We have purposely not mentioned the names of companies because these are proprietary matters of specific bids to do services. So we're going to have an executive session in our next committee meeting at which Joy will go through all of the companies that she contacted, what their offers were, and the pros and cons, and we can get into that in great detail. But tonight we're just going to focus on the printed ballot aspect, and the next meeting we'll do that in depth.
So the previous speaker's question or point will be addressed in the future.
Yes.
Yeah. And I will certainly send out to the committee members my experience.
Okay, Carolyn,
wait to be called upon.
Okay. Let's see. Next was Janet. No, well, you just spoke.
I had a point of information. I want to be
all right.
That.
Go ahead.
Okay. And all I want to do is ask, request that the NES give us her arguments or whatever in favor of the second option, the postcard option, other than cost.
Sure. You know, I said this for you. I think that the second option, whereas in the first option, you're mailing to voters one time at the ballot mail date, which would be closer to the return time of the election. With the second option, you're actually mailing voters twice in the election process, which I believe would increase turnout for the election.
Okay, next is John.
Yeah, I have a radical idea that I want to suggest here as a alternative motion, and that is that since we are a radio station and presumably we service listeners who listen to the radio, that we send out our announcements via the radio, and we don't send paper at all, except for the bylaws required option of if they hear that there's an election on the radio, then they demand a paper ballot as per their right by the bylaws, then we ship them out a ballot, costs about $1,500. So this would eliminate our mailing and cost to and reduce it down to about $1,500. And my thought would be this: the rationale is if they're not listening, then they're not voting. And if we have to appeal to them through written appeals, then we're failing as a radio station. If we don't have any listeners, we're failing anyhow. So the election is immaterial and moot. So that's my counter motion. Let's do it all. Let's do it all electronically for those that have emails, and let's do it. Let's depend on the radio to get out the vote, because that's what people pay media for in America. When Hillary and Jeb Bush run, they're going to do it with TV and a little radio and some mailings as well. But the main expense is going to be through media, and we control a media radio network. So let's use it and save the money, since we don't have the money anyhow.
Woohoo! All right.
Okay. Was there anyone else on the stack? Because I want to add myself to the stack. If not. Okay. All right. So let's start with Joy's two options. I am very respectful of the goal that she's setting with option two about the double postcard, the two different postcards. I think, you know, it's an interesting idea for stimulating voters by reaching them twice. But I think in the end, I would say that possibility that a few more people would notice the second time when they overlooked it the first time is extremely counterbalanced by the severe really downturn and you know, undercutting of voting participation by the many people who are not online. And, you know, this is not a stereotype. This is actual data in terms of age, that there's as much as the inroads that have been made in all age groups of the population to Internet access and Internet use. It's not just access. It's also actual use. People feel comfortable using computers, that there's still a strong age gradient, that the older people are, the lower the rates are. And we know from a lot of data that our listenership at all five stations is getting older and older. Some estimates are perhaps as high as a median of 65 years old. So, and there's also still a race and class differential in online access. So I think given all that, there's a serious chance that if you set up, it's like in government elections, if you set up any kind of obstacles that may seem minor, like, well, you have to call a number to request a paper ballot, that's an obstacle. That's something that people have to remember to do, and, you know, maybe they forget.
You're
to do
fading.
It. I'm fading?
Your voice. Okay, you're better.
Okay. I'm extremely worried that it would depress the voter turnout. I do believe that this is the long-term direction to go. I think Joy is absolutely right that this is where we should be headed, but I don't think we're there yet given our current listenership and not to mention the brand newness of doing e-balloting this year. So I think it's premature, and so I would support not just Serene's motion, but also a broader motion. Actually, I sent out with the agenda today a motion that came out of a meeting we had in October that did not reach quorum, but we decided to use the time just to informally talk about the question of the booklet with the candidate statements. and we reached consensus. Now, you know, it was an informal group, so it didn't have any binding weight, but I'm now introducing tonight as a formal motion what we came up with that night, which is to have, which works in tandem with Serene's motion, and that would be to have a booklet of 200 words per candidate, and those who want the 500-word version, those people would, you know, if they want the full length, then yes, they do have to go online, because I think we have to make some compromise with costs, but at least every voter would get something that gives them an indication of who the candidates are and what they stand for. And that
can I be on the stack on that point, please?
You can, but please don't interrupt. So, and then in tandem with Serene's motion, then that package, as enjoys option number one, would all be sent by bulk mail. So it would cut the cost, you know, considerably by $18,000 compared to first class. So I guess I'm proposing sort of a combination of the two motions together. So Janet C, go ahead.
Janet,
okay.
K, a point of order.
Okay, hold on. Point of order takes precedence. Go ahead, Janet K.
When you say a combination, it sounds like what you just said would be an amendment.
That's true. I wasn't being parliamentarily correct. You're right.
So
the way for me to do that is to amend Serene's motion to add that motion that came out of the informal session in October. Okay.
And could that be
point of information, please?
Can we make a point of procedure, please?
There's no such thing as a point of procedure. It's my turn. After these points of order and information.
Hang on, Janet. Hold on, everyone. Hold on. Janet, what kind of a point would you like to make? Is it a point?
I was on the stack to make a point about your point. It was a point of opinion.
Hang on, Janet. Points of information or points of order, which can include a question about parliamentary procedure, take precedence over people.
I agree. I said so, but there is no such thing as a point of procedure. That is just another delaying tactic to keep me from speaking.
A point of order.
I have a point of information.
Hang on. A point of order comes first. Go ahead.
Can people modulate their voices, please?
Yes.
A point of order, Carolyn here.
Serene and then John.
And Carolyn, point of order, please.
Okay, Serene, go ahead.
We are scheduled to end the meeting in 1.5 minutes. To extend it, not only to finish this discussion. I mean, we can just vote. That's fine. But also to...
I have my picture of you, but I'm on the phone. Another time.
Please,
I mean, it was
mute.
Just like
please
all
mute.
Three of you have the same little black ears. Wasn't a great photo, though.
Could you
though.
Please mute your phone? Okay. Sorry, Serene. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we need to... set the next meeting date and make sure that it's a date that Joy can make. So I would move that we extend by 15 minutes.
Okay. Let me point out that wasn't actually a point of order, but it is correct that it's calling the orders of the day because we're at 10:30, which is the time we were meant to adjourn. So it's correct on that level that we do need to make a decision. What
so
we're
do
doing
I
now.
Get to say my so, have
hang
my
on,
say?
Hang on. Can you please let me finish a sentence? So where we're at this point is that the meeting is supposed to end right now, and I don't think anyone wants that. We need to, at a minimum, set our next date, and then if anyone wants to move to extend time to discuss the substance, we can entertain that motion. So who would like to make a motion on extending time and for what purpose?
I thought I just did.
I'm sorry, Serene. Maybe I didn't understand, Serena.
She said 15 minutes.
Say it again, Serene.
15 minutes, an extension of 15 minutes, so that we could set the next meeting date and finish this motion.
And finish the motion. Okay. All right. So that's the motion. Any other amendments to that, or are we ready to decide on 15 minutes? Okay. So is there any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing none, that's approved, and Janet Coleman...
No, I changed my mind. I do object.
You do object, then we'll have to take
a vote.
Yeah, I do.
I can hold my comment for next time, and I assume everyone else can, too.
Okay, so you're saying you
object to the extension, yes, I do.
Okay, Michael, please call the roll. This takes a two-thirds vote.
Teresa Allen?
The motion is to extend 15 minutes. I say yes.
Jim Brown. Jim Brown, still there?
Yes.
Senator Coleman?
No.
Senator Coburn?
Yes.
I'm sorry, skip Kim Kaufman. Kim Kaufman?
Could someone please mute your phone?
I don't hear anything from Kim Kaufman. Jose Luis Fuentes Roman?
Abstain.
Of the extension? I'm sorry?
Abstain. Abstain.
Abstain. Okay. Bob Lederer?
Yes.
I guess I'll vote yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Nancy Zavar and Aritomi?
Yes.
Is it Turner?
Did you say Pete Tucker?
Yeah. How did you vote?
Yes.
John Wenger?
Yes.
Nine. Have nine in favor, one opposed, one abstention.
Oh, excuse me. This is Cynthia Johnson. I've been here since almost the beginning. I did not. Announce myself. I vote yes.
Okay, I wish you had told me that you were here when you got here, because I'm sorry, I got on the call.
I apologize. I came in about 15 minutes, maybe.
All right.
That's 10-1.
Okay, thanks. So the motion's passed, and we go 15 more minutes. So next on the stack was Janet Coleman.
Pardon me? It goes back
You're
to me?
Next on the, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think, Bob, that it's somewhat disingenuous to think that we should have a printed ballot for older and a mail ballot for older listeners and then deprive them of really being able to have the full amount of information in their printed ballot. They still have to find a computer, so that basically either it's going to be people don't care whether or not they have all the information, or it's a real impediment for the person who is depending on the printed ballot to have only a partial one, and I object to that. I don't think that's a democratic way to treat the voters who depend on the printed word.
Point of information?
Yes.
I had one already. It got dropped. But the question is, doesn't a substitute motion have some parliamentary precedence in a substitute motion, and then people stop talking about it?
No. I'm sorry. I should have clarified the situation. Your motion is on the floor, John, as a substitute. So people can talk about either the substitute or the original motion or the amendment, my amendment to the original motion. So those are all fine topics for anyone to address, pro or con.
Okay, fair enough. Then
point of information.
Please
hang on. Let John finish.
Can I be on the stack?
Yes, after John finishes. Go ahead, John.
Okay. Bob, I wanted to get added to I wanted to ask my question, which you've answered. Now I want to enter the queue.
Okay, so, Serene, did you say you had a point of information?
Yeah, what time did you send the motion, John?
I didn't send it. I made it verbally a moment ago.
Okay, are you at a computer? Can you type it up?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that would be very helpful. Okay?
Right, okay.
All right, so I heard Kim, and then I want to put myself on the stack, and then we'll see where we're at. So, Kim, go ahead.
I agree with Jana Coleman that it's a real impediment to make people take two steps or more in order to get the full information of candidates that they need. And it is sort of not just voter disempowerment, but candidate disempowerment in not giving the candidates a voice to present themselves and making, you know, it should not be incumbent upon the voters to have to jump through hoops in order for them to be informed. So I agree with Janet.
Alan for the SAC.
Okay, so I call on myself next and then Teresa. So perhaps there's some confusion about what the proposal, which I'm saying it's my motion, but it's really, it came out of a consensus of several members of this committee who were on that call. And that is not to deny them the candidate statements, but to simply give them a shorter version, which is identical to the version we used in 2012 in the elections. It's 200 words. That you can say a lot in 200 words, and all of our candidates at five stations did say a lot. And I don't recall a single complaint saying, you know, why are you giving us this shortened version and you know, we need the full amount without having to take an extra step. So while I certainly would agree, and if we were not in a financial crisis, I would completely support the previous policy, which is to automatically send all, whatever it is now, 70,000 members, you know, only 10% of which, 10 to 12% of which ever cast a vote, to send them all the entire 500-word statements. But I just think we have to make some concessions to our financial survival. And I think it's a reasonable compromise to say 200 words is plenty to really give a strong picture of who the candidate is.
Point of information, out of 500 words, 200's enough?
Point of order.
That is a point of information.
That was exactly what the board voted in 2012. And
200 out of 500 words is sufficient for them, even though
You're interrupting me to argue, okay? I answered your point of information. I stand by my
thank
position.
Thank you, and I hope everyone realizes how ridiculous
okay,
it is.
Okay, excuse me. You're not called.
Order.
Point of order, yes.
We're approaching the time at which we have the meeting, and we have not set another meeting.
Oh, excellent
point.
10 minutes
left.
Okay. Let me suggest, if there's no objection to, because I think we all want to make sure we have a meeting soon to resolve this and many, many other pending issues, can we go to that question and then see, you know, if we want to extend further to vote on these motions? Is there any objection to moving to the question of next date? I think we can do it quickly. Okay, hearing none. Joy, right before you came on the call, we had proposed the date of, I'm sorry, I don't have my calendar open. Michael,
May 11th.
Monday,
May 11th. And that seemed to be a consensus. Joy, is that available to you at the same time, 8:30 Eastern?
I'm checking just a second.
Sure.
While she's checking, can Janet, can I have a point of order?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sort of. So I don't think we have to extend the time in order to vote. We just vote. We first vote on the substitute motion, and depending on what happens with that, if it doesn't pass, then we vote on the your amendment, and then we vote on Serene's, you know, depending on what happens.
Yeah, that's correct. We can do that. Yeah.
Yes, I'm available May 11th.
Okay, great. So is there any objection to setting the next meeting of this committee 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, May 11th? Okay, hearing none, and that's our next meeting. Okay, so now we're back to the question of the main motion by Serene, then the amendment by me, and the substitute motion by John. So let's see. Nancy, how many minutes do we have left?
8 minutes.
8 minutes. Okay, so why don't we take two more speakers and then go to the votes on those three items. Okay, so who would like to speak? Who hasn't spoken yet?
Alan was in line.
Go ahead, Teresa. Yes, you were. Correct.
I do agree with you, Bob, that we should send out something with shorter descriptions and have websites available that you can, that people can go to, or they can request a larger packet. I think that what we send out the first time should have all of the things in it that we want. It should, there should be a solicitation for more money, for a contribution. There should be a ballot, some way that they can vote, and there should also be the candidates' names and some sort of summary of their credentials or what they stand for. I don't think you have to send out 500 words per person, especially if you have 30 candidates. Something very brief. I say even 100. And if people want more, they can request it. I think that we should expect our people to put in a little bit of effort, and we meet them halfway by giving them everything that they need if they just put in a little bit of effort and meet us halfway. Thank you.
Great. This is Kim. Janet K., point of information.
Point of information? Okay, go ahead, Janet.
So, Bob, can you do you remember the date or the month when your what your amendment is about was proposed? Or
yeah, it was October of last year.
Okay, thank you.
The date and the language are in the agenda.
Yeah, actually, right before we vote, I'm going to ask someone in front of a computer, maybe Michael, to just read. Well, Serene could read her motion. Michael can read my motion, and John can read his motion. But let's hear from one more speaker who has
Michael,
not addressed this yet. Okay, yeah, Michael, you haven't been on this.
Well, I thought, is this Kim? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you, but you've already spoken on this round. So I'm asking for new speakers. Michael, go ahead.
I think it makes sense. This is, regardless of the fact of e-voting, I think that in order to publicize the election to our actual listeners, sponsors who are different from our listeners, we need to have a mailing. I think it makes sense to send the ballot, some amount of information on each of the candidates, and the information on how to e-vote to everyone who is a current listener sponsor, as opposed to just a postcard or two postcards, because that's the main way that all the listener sponsors will get the information. If people choose to e-vote, or the, even if the default is e-voting, they will have the paper ballot in front of them to use as a sample ballot the way you do in a general election that the civic society runs. So I think it makes the most sense to send a mailing, a bulk mailing, that includes the ballot, as Teresa said, the candidate information, the code that everybody has that by which they can cast their ballot electronically if they wish, otherwise by paper if they wish. And that eliminates, people who vote electronically will save us money by not returning a business reply envelope, not having to process their ballot, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we can conduct the election in that manner. Publicize it on the radio all you want, but people need to be listener members or staff members to vote.
Okay, so we are out of time at this point, so we are now moving to the vote. So I'm going to have the each of the three motions be read. And let me just clarify. I realize I didn't address the kind of parliamentary status of Joy's proposal. Nobody put that into a motion form, but I want to respect her, you know, thought process and her wisdom in coming up with that. So I would say that if these motions are voted down, then that would open the door to considering hers as an alternative. But I think it would be fair to say that if we vote in favor of the motion for the mailing, you know, with the ballot and the candidate statements, et cetera, that would be saying that we disagree with Joy's proposal about the two postcards. But, you know, there still could be consideration of that if that's not approved. But I just want to clarify kind of where we're at in the process of considering the different options. So the order we go in is the substitute is voted on first. That's the normal Roberts Rules procedure. And then we'll consider the amendment and then the main motion. So, John, would you read us your motion, please?
Let me get into my send mail because I don't see it in my inbox.
That's fine.
I haven't gotten it.
Well, this is Teresa Allen. I don't have it.
Well, it was sent. I was typing it up, and while you're talking, it was sent at 7:43, 3 minutes ago. But
it's
let me
all right. It doesn't matter. Just read it.
Right. Okay, it's just a couple, two or three sentences. Moved to employ our radio stations to adequately publicize our 2015 Pacifica elections beginning in May 2015. That's the I meant by that the publicity effort, not the elections beginning. Begin with 1 minute required announcements requesting email addresses and or phone numbers if no email address is available. Increase to 3 minutes per hour in June and to 5 minutes in July. Yeah. And, of course, implicitly in there, we also put out the announcement, all the announcement materials in there.
I have a point of order.
Yes. Go ahead.
That's not the motion I heard earlier in the meeting.
Right. I was just about to say, this is quite a different, I mean, we always allow leeway for people to refine wording of something they've said orally, but this is like a really different kettle of fish.
Well, I need to try to make it short.
What I heard you say earlier was to dispense with sending ballots completely unless someone responds to a radio announcement telling them that they can apply for a ballot.
No, that's not what I said.
I didn't hear that in this motion.
I did not say that. What you just said, attributing to me, is not what I said. What I said was we have a radio station. We can adequately publicize the election with a radio station, which is far more powerful, given that you can have multiple announcements than a single mailing, which can get lost in the post office. So what I did is I made explicit what I mean by adequate publicity. And the point is that in this adequate publicity, you state that you can, if you want a paper ballot, you can get it by either asking it for by email or by a phone call or any other way, hand carrying the message, sending it by, you know, Pony Express, whatever you want. But the point is,
point of order.
Come on, let me just finish my thought. My point is,
the member is arguing.
Okay, hold on. Just let him finish this one sentence briefly.
I said adequately publicize. That's the essence. Now, whatever you think, we can polish what adequately publicize means, but adequately means a lot more than Joy's paper proposal, which is constrained by money. We have a radio station, and if we have any listeners, we can just talk to you.
Okay. I'm going to rule that although I think this does have a considerable different kind of sound to it than what I heard earlier, that I think we all understand what John is talking about, and I would say in the interest of time, let's just go ahead and vote on it, and if it does pass and people feel like it's still unclear, we could amend it afterwards. But I would like to just go ahead with the vote up or down on this. There's no objection. So, all right, Michael. So you all heard the motion, Michael. You want to call the roll?
Teresa Allen. I'm John substitute.
Well,
Teresa Allen.
Sorry. Let me just say one more thing because I want it really clear, because I think in the last answer John gave, he was saying that it still is a substitute for automatic mailing of something to everyone. That under his proposal, it would be a radio announcement directing you how you could get the ballot. That's the only way you could get the ballot, is by responding to what you heard on the radio, as opposed to something in your mailbox. So go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
Allen says no.
Yeah, we're voting on the three things. We understand we're going to do. Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Jim Brown.
Pass.
Janet Coleman.
Compton one, Janet.
No.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman.
Abstain.
Cynthia Johnson.
No.
Kim Kaufman. Janet Coburn.
No.
Bob Lederer.
No.
I'll vote no. Serene Roberts.
No.
Nancy Sabara in Aritomi?
No.
Pete, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name, Pete.
Tucker.
Tucker. Okay, sorry, that was Turner. Okay, Pete Tucker?
No.
No. John Wenger?
Yes.
Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 no's, 1 abstain, 1 pass, I'm sorry. Jim Brown, pass.
Pass, I say no.
10 no's, 1 abstain, and 1 yes. Defeated.
Okay, so the substitute motion.
Immediately to the, we're out of time, so you have to move immediately to the amendment.
Yeah, no, I know. Okay, so the substitute is not adopted. So next, the amendment, John, sorry, Michael, would you please read it?
This would be to incorporate into the main motion. The PNB Elections Committee recommends that abbreviated candidate statements of up to 200 words be printed on the least expensive paper and included in the paper packet sent to all members. The packet will also include notice that the full 500-word statements and questionnaire answers are available online. And B, instructions for members to put the full 500-word statements to request a mailing of the full-length printed booklet via a toll-free number or an email address. In addition, each station will make announcements on their airwaves and websites drafted by the National Election Supervisor explaining the availability of full-length printed booklets. If we vote yes, that would be incorporated into the main motion, which was Serene's earlier.
Okay. Go ahead and call the roll, please.
Allen.
Allen says yes.
Jim Brown. Jim Brown.
Okay, why don't you come back to focus?
Okay, Janet Coleman.
Pass.
I'm sorry, was the pass Janet Coleman?
Yes.
Okay. Jose Luis Fuentes Romano.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, was that a yes?
That was a yes.
Cynthia Johnson?
Yes.
Kim Kaufman? Kim Kaufman? Jan Coburn?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Voting yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Nancy Sabari and Aritomi?
Yes.
Pete Tucker?
Yes.
John Wenger?
Abstain.
Going back to Janet Coleman?
Yes.
Jim Brown?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Kim Kaufman? Only once. Oh, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 yeses, 1 abstain.
Okay, thank you. So the amendment's adopted, and now we go to the vote on the motion, Serene's motion, as amended by adding what Michael just read to you, the amendment. So can you, Serene, could you please read your original motion?
Sure. Whereas Pacifica continues to be in severe financial crisis, and whereas the National Election Supervisor has recommended that the election materials for the upcoming election be sent to voters via bulk rate mail, which she estimates would save approximately $17,000, along with a business reply envelope to make it easier for voters to return their ballot and contribution to offset costs, and whereas the National Election Supervisor has issued an election timeline that includes the option of a 10-day extension of the period for ballot mailing and return from 45 to 55 days. If bulk rate mailing is decided to ensure that all voters have adequate time to receive and return their ballots, resolve that the Elections Committee recommends that the Pacifica National Board approve bulk rate mailing of initial election materials to voters.
Okay, Michael, please call the roll.
And
so this, what you're voting on...
Okay, and then it would incorporate the further that the we recommend the abbreviated candidate statements and the other things.
So the, those two things are now one combined motion.
Yes.
Point of information?
Yes.
Is there a return postage in there, or is that bulk rate too? The return mail is by bulk rate?
No. The business supply envelope.
Oh, okay.
Janet Kay, point of information?
Yes, Janet Kay.
Can we ask, can you ask if there are objections?
Sure.
To avoid going through the whole
system. We can try it. Are there any objections to this motion as amended?
This is Teresa. I hate to say this. I'm so confused. I'm going to have to abstain. I just have to abstain. Sorry, I'm confused.
So are there any objections to this motion? Okay, so can we record this as, well, actually,
no,
I think we do need to call the roll even when there's one abstention. Sorry,
folks. So Teresa Allen has an abstention. Jim Brown?
Yes.
Janet Coleman?
I'm sorry.
Pass for a minute.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman?
I thought we just voted on this.
We voted on an amendment to incorporate the idea of a candidate abbreviated candidate statement. Now we're voting on the entire motion as amended.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Cynthia Johnson.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman. Janet Coburn.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
Yes.
I'm voting yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Nancy Savarnar-Tony?
Yes.
Pete Tucker?
Yes.
John Wenger?
Abstain.
Janet Coleman, you had passed?
I'll vote yes.
Last chance, Kim Kaufman? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Jim, what about Jim?
I'm sorry?
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown voted yes. I have 9 yes, 2 abstentions.
Okay, thank you. So the motion's adopted and will be sent to the PNB for consideration. And so thank you, everyone, for a good meeting. The next meeting, let me remind you, will include a section that is in executive session. So it'll be first a public session and then an executive session 2 weeks from tonight on May 11th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.